So tonight we're going to be talking about the community that changes the world. Now people look at that like, John, that's pretty lofty. The community that changes the world. How do we create a community that can change the world? Because that's what we are. We are world changers. We change the world wherever we go, right? Everybody in here is in a full-time ministry. It's just your job. Your company is paying your salary. Everybody in here is in a full-time ministry. And when we think about that, we can change the world. So tonight we're going to talk about what type of community can change the world and how can we change the world through our community here in Gwinnett, in all of us, in our families. My first question here, and I like to, you know, ask questions so you guys can talk and hear, listen to each other. Why do you think God has put us together in this church community? Why do you think God has put us here at this place at this time? Why do you think? What do you think?
To be unified in Christ.
To be unified and unified in Christ. Okay. All right.
To
Tom? To build each other up. What, who else?
I think God has something very specific that only individually we can do at this time, this moment, in this place.
God has a specific task for you, each one of us, at this time, at this place. Okay? Who else? Why do you think God puts us together in this community right here tonight?
To help us get to heaven.
To help us get to heaven, right? Okay. Okay, we're helping each other get to heaven. There are things that you might have that I have, or you might not, you know, I might not have and you might have that can help me, okay? Who else? Why are we here?
Just to piggyback off what you said, really to help other people in the community get saved, yeah, to go and make disciples.
Okay, God has put us in Gwinnett for a reason, right? Gwinnett is close to 1 million people. There's a lot of people out there. And people that you meet at the store, and you know, God has put us in a specific place at a specific time for a reason, for such a time like this, to help people get to know God. All right? What else? Why do you think God puts us in this community? Jeff? Yeah.
Than the world around you.
Wow.
So, obviously, you know, in the sense of it's been a kingdom a lot, last couple of years actually, it's been a lot of themes of our classes and word and everything. So, I think it has to do with the fact that we've all in common submitted to the rule of Jesus, make that decision, say, we're going to let Jesus rule our life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're here. We're a light. Great. No, we are light. We are a light here. We are a beacon here. That people that we have all committed to having Jesus as Lord of our life, so that we are here for a reason. Gary? We can't do this alone. We cannot survive, right? Okay. All right. Helen?
Ephesians 3:10 says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly realm. To demonstrate God's wisdom.
To demonstrate God's right here in Gwinnett. All right. Let's move on here. Now let's look at Romans chapter 12. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12. We'll read a little bit here. We're starting in verse 3. You know, Paul is writing here to the Romans here, talking about, you know, being a living sacrifice. So he starts in verse 3 here. It says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We'll stop there. You know, I see those three things that God really wants us to think about. It's the first part is you, yourself, and God. And he talked about God has given us grace, you know, and don't think of yourself higher than you who you really are, but rather have a sober judgment of who you are in accordance to the measure that God has given you, the measure of faith that he's given you. And I think the first part of it is having a relationship with God, us individually. He wants that relationship. So he deals with you and God. The second part is your family. He's talking about many parts. We have many different parts. Each part has different functions. And we all work together to make one body function properly. And then the last part, he's talking about the community of believers. He's talking about, hey, you know, practice hospitality. You know, share with God's people who are in need. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. Do not, you know, be willing to associate people with low position. Not having cliques, not having groups, but being able to share with God's people. So some of the things that, you know, this passage here, it talks about how we can build that community. It starts with us individually, and then it starts with our family, meaning not just our nuclear family, but our ministries. Our campus ministry, our singles ministry, our kingdom kid ministry, our teen ministry. We all have different ministry to grow. We have different parts and different function for each ministry, each family. The first part I want to talk a little bit about is connecting with God on a personal and spiritual, emotional level. We got to have that. We got to have that personal relationship with God. It starts here. If we don't start here, we're floating in different spaces and we're not very grounded. We have to have that personal relationship with God. Again, number two is to connect to your family. Whether it's your kids, whether it's your husband, whether it's your brothers and your sisters, whether it's you know, your nuclear family, your ministry. Who are you at home? And it says, Scripture in Colossians 3, it says, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Father, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. See, I believe that who we are at home is who we really are. Because we're comfortable. Because we're not guarded. We can come here at church and be like, yeah, I'm doing great. But at home, man, everything's falling apart. Right? Who we are at home is usually who we really are. And so the scripture is it's very clear on what we need to do. Wife, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wife and don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And father, helping their children grow. You know, 1 Peter talks about, you know, talks about, again, the wife submitting to the husband. It says, but here it says, husband, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now look at that scripture. I'm like, wow, my prayers can be hindered the way I treat my wife. The way the relationship that I have with my wife and my kids, it can hinder my prayer. It goes up, the ceiling is it. It can hinder my prayer. I have to be careful how I treat my wife and my kids at home and vice versa with their wives. And then thirdly, connecting to the body of Christ, the church. Connect with God, connect with our family, and then connect with the body of Christ, the church. Let me ask you guys this. Can you truly do well spiritually if you're not connected to a church community? Can you really do well spiritually, Dan?
I guess I thought I was just thinking that you can think you're doing well, but how do you know? You don't have someone to kind of help you see
okay.
how you're really doing.
True. You can't really gauge, right? You may think I'm doing great, but I might not be doing great. Okay. You might not know how to gauge. Can you truly do well spiritually without being connected to a church community?
I think so.
Okay.
Because it's about your relationship with Jesus.
All right.
So if that's strong, then you can do just about everything else with it.
Okay. Let's ask that. Steve?
Well, so elsewhere in the Bible, it's comparing it to the body. It says, you know, can a hand or a foot finger or a foot survive separate from the body?
Right. Okay. Jeff?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it God's way.
Well, what if you're in the right church?
Right. Okay.
What if you're in the wrong church?
Oh, let me answer that. Go ahead. Who else? Anybody else? Go ahead, Zach.
I guess looking at it from a totally different perspective, for growth requires stress, right?
Okay.
And stress is brought on by friction or tension or some sort of I don't get along or the difference. And if you're on an island, you're the only one. So there's no friction. There's no stress. There's no overcoming that has to happen.
Okay. It needs other parts to help make that work. All right. All right. Alan? Okay. All right. Right. Obedience. All right. Who else?
I think there's something about relationships that reveal who we really are. And I think if we don't have those relationships, I think there are aspects of us that we will never see. And there are aspects of ourselves that we will never really have to deal with. Because I think about just my relationship with my kids, my relationship with you, my relationship with my friends, it's different things about me that God reveals, whether it's envy, whether it's just these things in my heart that would never come out if I didn't have those relationships.
Okay. God always uses people to help us see who we are.
Tyler? People basically turns down every other which way that is on the completely opposite spectrum. It's just like where he was able to keep his right mind and not, even like when it came to his wife, saying just curse God. And it's like he was still able to stay with his foundation.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Robert? That's true. That's true. The air is way back. Okay, good. You know what? Well, let me think about this. Imagine if I cut off my thumb and I leave it here, and I go on vacation for 2 weeks. When I come back, what do you think my thumb will look like? Will my thumb grow into another body? Another John Yang? That would be scary. Or will my thumb turn blue and smell bad and look nasty because it's no longer joined to the body, right? It's not getting the blood. It's not getting the nutrients that it needs. And so that thumb is probably okay for like a day or two, maybe a couple of days. But eventually, that thumb is going to decay. That thumb is going to die. That thumb will not grow into another body. And I think we can do spiritually well by ourselves for a little bit, but eventually, when you're not connected to the body, like the scripture talked about, eventually you're going to decay. You're not going to do spiritually well. You're not going to have the people that I talked to this morning. We have blind spot when we drive, right? There's certain spot that you just cannot see until you go this. Now, if a Mack truck is coming through and you have a passenger here, he's going to say, hey, John, don't change lane because that Mack truck is coming through. I need that guy to tell me that. If I change lanes, we're going to get hit. We all have blind spots. We all have blind spots in our lives that we do not see. And it's the church. If we let the church help us, hey, here's your blind spot. Please don't change lane. Or please take a look at this. We can see our blind spot. We can change. We can see what we need to do. But if we didn't have church, if we didn't have the body to help us, eventually we're not gonna be able to sustain ourselves. We need God and we need his body, the church. Just like that thumb, when it's not connected to me, I'll be hurting. I'll be hurting a lot. I probably won't have a very good vacation without my thumb. But I'll live. But my thumb will not. My thumb will die eventually. And so I think that's how we got to think. Man, if I'm disconnected to God's body, the church, God's people, I will eventually not do well spiritually. Let me talk a little bit about this idea of a phantom community. You know, phantom community is skipping step number one and number two. We're not connected to God. We're not connected to our family. But we're doing all these other things for the church, for the good, for the community out there. and we're not connected to God or our family. You know, in a community, there's so many factors in a community. And you know the community. There could be communities that have love. There's a community that can care about each other, that they have purpose, a community that can have purpose and truly encourage one another. But they're all phantom community. A true community is a community where every individual is actively and relentlessly pursuing righteousness, peace, and holiness. That's a true community. A phantom community is a community that we come together and we encourage and we love, and those things are great, but if we don't have this, we're just a phantom community. We got to be individually, I am relentlessly pursuing righteousness, peace, and holiness in my walk with God. That's what I feel like sometimes there's a lot of communities out there that we see that we're part of, but they're not true community. They are a community, but what we're talking about is the true community that we have to be individually, relentlessly pursuing righteousness and holiness, peace. You know, here are some of the challenges in community, in church community. The first part is some attend. We talked about this last time. Some attend but refuse to develop relationship with others. They don't feel safe and have issues relating to their mistrust. Some people attend, right? They come, but they don't develop relationship with anybody. They come and they leave. They come and then they, you know, kind of what Steve talked about on Sunday. We're just consumerism. We just take what we need and then we leave without really having relationships. The second one is others feel they belong, but refuse to have any sense of emotional ownership and refuse to submit to any form of healthy accountability. Now, this is from John Louis from the book Good Enough Parenting. You know, some people do have a sense that they belong, but they don't have any emotional ownership, and they refuse to submit to any kind of healthy authority and accountability in their life. Now, this is the challenge that we face. Am I really involved emotionally in this community, or am I here? I'm here, which is a good thing, but am I really emotionally involved? Let me ask you guys this. How can you be emotionally invested in this church community? How can you be emotionally invested in this church community? Steve?
I think we have to be focused on, am I part of the solution or am I part of the problem? Am I trying to improve the situation and investing my time, energy, and resources? Or am I just critical of the situation?
True.
Okay.
Am I part of the solution? Do I want to be part of the solution, or am I just complaining or not feeling like anything is resolving? Am I going to be the solution? Jeff?
I think fundamentally, you casually
Mm-hmm. Okay. Serving. Sure, Todd.
Yeah, I think of that you genuinely love other people, other Christians, that you know they're on your heart, you're praying about them, and that drives you to be involved in their life, to help in different ways, to wrestle with them in prayer, to want to meet their needs, things like that.
Okay. Be involved in their life, meeting their needs. Okay. What else? Jack?
I think it goes back to commitment, though. Just going, looking at a breakfast analogy, are you the chicken, in which case you give the eggs, or are you the hog that donates the bacon, right? right? Are you all in, or are you just sort of, you know, there for the benefits?
Hmm. Okay. Are you all in, or are you here for the benefits? All right. Dan? Close relationship, right? And you know, close relationship, it takes time. It takes being intentional, right? Okay, true. What up?
Yeah, going on with what he said, being vulnerable, getting past the surface level, being willing to let people see the faults, see your sin, telling people that, and knowing that people are going to make mistakes and people are going to hurt you, you know, even in the church, we're all human. So being willing to
okay, vulnerability. Great. We have to be vulnerable. Go ahead, Austin.
I guess kind of piggybacking everyone, I would say, like, I think it's seeing, like, a need in the church and then actively, you know, taking it upon yourself to try to solve it. You know, like, it's, if you're the one that sees it or sees something, then you basically invest yourself in that and then, like, go get the church's help. But I guess being proactive.
Being proactive in meeting needs. All right, Tyler.
I think that some of the things I've seen go in the opposite direction is that when people start to follow people rather than following God and following Jesus, and basically when something goes wrong with that person, everything crumbles underneath that. When their center focus is with Jesus, and then in turn they're able to give emotionally and not have that hurt when something happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. See?
Yeah, I also think about, you know, just having the chance to contact. When you're doing something, when you're offering yourself to another child, if you mean out of God, that shouldn't be something that's going to burn you out. You know, if nobody else is stepping up, you're right there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Doing it out of your goodness of your heart. All right. Chloe? Yeah, emotionally. Notice people who are not there. Check up on each other. All right, Luna?
When I think about emotionally, I feel like getting to the point where you're, like, struggling, but you're not giving up. You're not giving up on the church. You're not giving up on God and, like, what everybody else has been saying. And not giving up on those relationships and mm-hmm. what's keeping you and that relationship with God. So I feel like when you're emotionally invested, you won't let anything make you turn away from God, you know, like.
Okay. All right. Kaya?
I think meeting people, have a heart for people wherever they are. And not, but I think there's a
okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Not being judgmental, but walking with them. Okay. Perry?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Great. We're back. Dieris? Chew. You got to give it to God first. Steve, one more. Right. Jesus died for us. We're here for a reason, right? At the beginning of the question, why are we here, you know, together as a church community? It's really important that we understand that. And you guys are right. Emotion, imagine if you go to the mall and you lost one of your kids. You would panic. You would be like, where's the security guard? You know, you might be yelling, hey, you got to see my kids. You would be in distress because you're emotionally invested in your child. You would be distressed. Am I like that with the people in here when they're going through a hard time? Am I there? Am I trying to be there? Am I invested in this person? Are they invested in me? Sometimes we could be in such a big crowd, but we could be so alone. We could be so alone, not having anybody knowing what I'm going through. And that shouldn't be the case. Because if my thumb is hurting, my whole body is going to hurt. It's very true. You know, it's very true. We need to invest emotionally with each other. And that's going to take time. That's going to take some energy. That's going to take some thinking. Okay, how, you know, hey, I haven't had so-and-so in my house for a while. Let's have them come over and have dinner with us. Or maybe after church, hey, can we have lunch with you guys? We haven't had lunch with you guys for a while. Or whatever. Trying to find a way where we can connect with each other because I want to be emotionally involved with you guys. And here's the thing. I think I love my blood family. I have, there's seven of us. There's seven of us. One of them lives in Minneapolis. And I would drop on a dime to help them. If they call me and say, hey, John, I need a ride to the airport. Okay, I'll come get you. Because they're blood brothers. You guys are all of that I've got. There's nothing that I can go back to. Everything that I see, everybody here is my family. I feel like that about you guys. I feel like that about your kids. I'm urgent for your kids because they have a small window that they're going to go away to college, and I'm fearful for them, and I want them to love God. We are all invested. I'm emotionally invested in your kids, in your family. We have to be emotionally involved and invested in each other, taking the time. And not that we're not doing that. We're doing that, and I want to implore us to keep going. To keep going. Those of us who may not have enough relationship or not, you know, get more relationship. Get more people to help you, to surround you, to help you. We all need that. Here's a healthy and functioning community of believers. You know, as the church helps the self, and we're helping each other, growing closer to God, to each other, ourselves, we're going to grow. And then when we grow, we can help our family to be healthy, to be connected. And then our family can help the church. We can be ways we can serve the church. Our family can serve the church. Our families can help in the kids' kingdom. Our family can help in being ushers and serving in so many capacities. So it's a cycle that if we take away our family, there is a thump in the wheel, right? We go thump, thump, thump. We need everybody to participate, the church, as it helps us get closer to God. We're going to be able to help our family, connect to our family closer. And then our family can really support and help the church grow as well. You know, you have to let the body of Christ help you so you can in turn help the body of Christ. You have to let it. You know, I talked a lot about our family dysfunction. We have family dysfunction that we're not even aware of. And if we don't let the church filter those things, we're going to keep passing on our dysfunction to our kids, and so on and so on and so on. We have to allow the church to strain out our dysfunction. We have to let the body of Christ help us so that we can help the body of Christ eventually. Some practicals. We're running out of time here. You know what? Have a daily walk with God. Have a daily walk with God. Be influenced by the Bible and in your prayers. First things first. You know, number two, have other mature Christian or couples walk with you and your family. The one another relationships. Have others walk with you. We need each other. We can't do this alone. God has put us here for a reason. Number three, get involved in youth and family ministry or other ministries. Get involved. You just can't stay on the sideline. You got to get involved. Learn to connect with your children and other families. Get involved. We have to get involved. Emotionally invested, get involved. Number four, be actively serving in the church, looking for ways to help build the body of Christ. Looking for opportunity, looking for ways. What can I do? Be the solution. There's a lot of problems out there. You be the solution. Come up with the solution. I tell the teens, here's what I tell the teens. I like, teens, what do you guys want to do? And everybody blurts out all kind of stuff, right? I say, what is something you see that you don't think is going well? Everybody says a lot of things. So I'm like, here's the thing. It's okay to have a complaint. It's okay. But come with a solution. Everybody can complain, but can you come with a solution to that complaint? And so whenever they complain now, that how would you have a solution for that? So they come with a complaint, but yet they come with a solution. And so we can talk about those things. But sometimes it's easier to just complain and not have a solution. Let's be the solution to those complaints. Let's be actively serving the church, making the bride of Christ more brilliant. Reach out to your friends. Come to see Jesus. We are farmers, right? We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Right? We're farmers. We go and we plant seeds. We water the, you know. We have no way of knowing when it grows. We are simply farmers. We can't tell. We just go and spread the seed and water it. God will make it grow. You know, together we can change the world. You know, I said in the beginning, you know, that's a lofty goal, but if you think about it, if we do it one person at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time, one community at a time, we can change the world. There's a friend of mine that, a great friend of ours, he passed away this a week ago, and he was 60, and he had a heart attack and passed away. But he passed away on Monday. On Sunday, he baptized a guy that he was reaching out for like 6 months. He's been reaching out to this guy for 6 months, and he baptized him on Sunday, and Monday he passed away. And I'm like, man, that's glorious, right? That's awesome. For this guy, he was like, that was his life. He's like, I'm here to help people get to know God. I'm here to help people connect with God. He baptized a guy. He's reaching out for 6 months, and then the next day he passed away. An amazing man, a guy that loves God deeply. We can change the world. Do you guys believe that? It's about, do you believe that? Or is that, that's too lofty. We can't do that. One person at a time. You never know. One person at a time. One family. One community. We can change the world. And God is counting on us to lay down our lives for people so they can know God. And our kids who are in the other room, who may not even care about God right now, it's our job to help them. It's our job to pave the way, to build our family, to build this community, so that we can embrace them, so that they too will know the God that we know, will come to know the loving family that we know. I believe God's going to grow. God's going to grow our church. God's going to grow our lives individually, in our families, and in our church. I believe that with all my heart. The question is, do we believe that? Are we emotionally invested? Or are we just here, simply here, to consume and to go away and do nothing? We have to do something.